You're listening to the Barbecue Nerds Podcast, where smoke meets science and flavor is our favorite experiment. Hey, barbecue lovers, I'm David, your resident pitmaster and science geek. Along with my co-host, Frank, we're diving deep into the world of barbecue, where tradition meets innovation. Now, let's get to today's episode.
The thing that pops out to me about this more than anything is that, you know, barbecue used to be like a regional style thing here and there. And it's not really that way anymore. There's been little nuggets picked from everywhere. And it's like getting thrown in this big melting pot. So that's pretty interesting to think about.
So I'm thinking that tonight we're going to be digging into the heart of barbecue. Smokers, rubs, and sauces. We're going to be starting with regional classics. But here's the twist. Modern barbecue gone global. Blending Texas brisket with Korean gochujang and Carolina pork with Middle Eastern spices. That's right. We're going full fusion, global classics. Things that start with salt and pepper and end with Chinese five-spice rub. It's a flavor revolution, and we're here to break it down. So we're going to be talking about gear, ingredients, and how today's pitmasters are remixing history into something new. So grab your tongs, nerds. Let's get into it.
Yeah, man.
By the way, tonight's episode is sponsored by Smokeslinger Pits. Get yours at smokeslinger.com. We've got the mini, a 24 by 30, the full-size Smokeslinger, which is a 24 by 48, and the all-new Liberty 94 offset smoker just launched the 2nd of February, 2025. With that said, let's get back into our program.
It's just barely been a month, too.
It's amazing.
Since we launched it. It's pretty cool.
It is.
But yeah, so, you know, I guess we should start talking about the smokers first, you know, kind of like the evolution of all of that. You know, of course, Texas barbecue, first thing everybody thinks of is either a brick pit or they're thinking about like an offset, like a big propane tank offset smoker. Those that haven't been around the block or maybe new to this, there's a whole nother style of smoker that is just as old. These big wood-fired rotisseries, like a J&R or an old boiler, if you ever hear somebody talk about that. A couple of those different brands of pits. M&M has their version of it. You know, those pits are just as old and have been just as instrumental in the inspiration of the flavors and stuff that we have in Texas. You know, you've got Post Oak, you got embers in some of those pits. The first thing comes to mind is going to be brisket and beef, like shoulder clod, sausage made from the trim, stuff like that.
I got to tell you, I do love a good shoulder clod cooked low and slow for hours upon hours, and being able to create that mouthfeel, that texture of pulled beef. I enjoy simple seasonings like your salt, pepper, and garlic, but there does come a time where I do like my hot sauces as well. I know a lot of the hot sauces out there do have a vinegar base, and that's going to bring us to some of those regions that we're going to talk about, those being most likely the Carolinas, Georgia, Kansas City, traditional Texas barbecue coming from North Texas, Central Texas, West Texas, East Texas, South Texas. Each region of Texas brings its own flair. And let's not forget that we've also gotten there, Georgia, and of course, your home region out there in the Midwest, Missouri.
Well, you know, Missouri is kind of split in two different, I think diagonally, from southwest to northeast. The northern section, like the northwest, is of course Kansas City, what we would call it. And you're going to see a lot of vertical brick pits. There was an old timer up there that was building the pits in like Gates and some of those original stores up there, Arthur Bryant's, that kind of thing. And those pits are typically like right behind the counter. There's a door on the front of it, a coal bed underneath, embers typically, maybe throwing a split on. And they move meat up and down vertically to hit those temp zones in there. So you do get like a brick pit kind of a feel to that, the original stuff. And then down in the boot heel, what we call the southeast side of Missouri, we're getting more into some rotisserie action. Of course, Old Hickory Pits is from Cape Girardeau. There was the J&Rs and the rotisseries like that. They were using those early on. And I talked to David Knight, the guy that still owns Old Hickory Pits. He told me the whole reason he started Old Hickory Pits is because an Oler burned his store down. So at that point, it was like, okay, I'm making these and they're not going to burn stores down, is what he told me. So that's how that all began. So there is definitely like this no man's land in the middle where like there's no style has been defined in Missouri. So it is like the ultimate melting pot, I think. Everybody was trying to pick a side.
So are they, it sounds like they might be closer aligned with Tennessee, where it's just, you know, you've got a melting pot of different type of cooking styles all coming together.
Yeah. Like if you go around Memphis, you're going to get more into that vertical style brick pit, but their pits are built different than the ones that were built in Kansas City. They're basically big round bar, like 1-inch round bar. They pitch coal underneath, except these days they just use charcoal and they throw it across the bottom of the pit. Thinking in my mind right now is Tops Barbecue down there, kind of like the baseball cards, but it's barbecue. It's a very old chain. We had to fix some of their pits a couple of times, but they're brick flues, you know, they're pitching embers under shoulders, you know, pig shoulders and stuff. But then you get over into the open pits, and then there's also a lot of the backwoods style, like vertical reverse flows. Backwoods was a brand that's down there, like water cookers. And now we're kind of getting down into that Georgia kind of method, like down in there with hog cookers and stuff.
Sure.
So it kind of, there's no real fine line, I don't think, in that definition of regional styles of barbecue as far as the cookers go.
That's very interesting. When I think of cookers, let's just start with Texas. I think of those massive offsets built from old propane tanks, pumping out post-oak smoke for that beefy brisket vibe. By the way, we did have a question in here. Let me just get to this one. Coming up this weekend, Saturday, March 8th, 2025, we do have our meetup spelled M-E-A-T-U-P in Canton, Texas. That's going to be at, is it Cherry Lane?
Yeah, some park named Cherry something.
Correct. So there was a question that came in here with regards to what we might be serving. And it's from Hojo Barbecue. He's asking, will there be clod on the menu in Canton? The answer is yes. Oh. Will be a full shoulder from a steer recently who has met his demise or her demise. And that clod will be cooked up this Saturday. We will be doing that. It looks like we've got another comment coming in here from Trumpet Master 77 Barbecue, who says Rodney Scott's original barbecue sauce is delicious. He's correct. And Dustin McCormick, El Presidente, chiming in, telling us that the name of the park is Cherry Creek Park in Canton, Texas. We would love to see you there this Saturday.
Yep, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, I cannot wait. The menu just keeps growing every day. We're going to need quite a bit of eaters to show up for this event. Hopefully, we've got some big eaters. We're going to need some portly individuals, let's say.
And some people to help cook, probably.
Yeah.
But hey, getting up into Trumpet's comment there, that kind of bridges us into the sauces and stuff like that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. So
the regional side of that.
Which is very interesting. So when we're talking about regional barbecue, I guess, you know, just getting back to where we were with Kansas City, hands down, their rubs are sweet and bold, brown sugar, paprika, garlic, and the sauce. It's thick, tomato-based, molasses heavy. It's like dessert for your ribs. I've got to remember the name of the – it's a very famous place in Kansas City. I haven't been to it. I've only had the opportunity to try the sauce. The sauce is excellent. When I've done it on ribs, when I've used it beforehand, it almost comes out like a glaze – when you allow it to set for a bit on your smoker. And man, the name
from is a slipping. Modern place or an old
no,
place?
No, it's an old school barbecue place.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have a fancy label. It's written in script. Man, it's downstairs in the basement and I'm upstairs.
That's probably Arthur Bryant's is written in script.
You got it. It's Arthur
Bryant. Was it Arthur Bryant's? Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. That, I think out of all the OG places, I've probably had better barbecue at Arthur Bryant's personally. Now there's like Zarda. Zarda is kind of like, for a certain time period, there was like the king of burn ends in at Zarda there. But, you know, they all kind of had their start right there with that. But once KCBS got started, and of course Texas barbecue started to like really take off and roll, that brought vast array of different kinds of sauces and seasonings to the Kansas City area. With it, you know, Cimarron Docks, that's an OG Kansas City rub. That's basically one of the foundation rubs. Pretty much there's like these classic rubs that are like the foundation of what everybody is doing today. And usually what it was is a combination of a couple of rubs, like Cimarron Docks and Smoking Guns Hot. Those are both restaurants there in Kansas City. Smoking Guns I don't know when they got started. I'm assuming like the 90s, maybe it could have been earlier. But Smoking Guns Hot, like we used that on everything, and then they had gunpowder, and we would top with that. But that became a one-bite flavor contest is what that became in competition barbecue. But now you've got guys like Chef Jay's, you know, Wolfpack is there. Those guys are bringing the more offset smoker style barbecue into Kansas City. You know, it's not just the old brick pits these days. Of course, Todd Johns from Plowboys. Plowboys is Kansas City as it gets right there. Matter of fact, one of his sauces is called KC Crossroads. That's an area in the Kansas City area.
Talk about Plowboys. The opportunity to, just last week as I was cooking, to take the Yardbird rub. And, you know, I'd never noticed beforehand. When I'm thinking Yardbird, I'm always thinking chicken. Right there on the label, it tells you it's good on pork. I ended up using that on that caribou to pork butt. My goodness, what flavor, what great color it puts on the outside. Yeah. Well before it ever hit the smoker, from all the different ingredients that are in there, it just made the pork this mahogany red. It looked unbelievable. I can't wait for that video to come out. And I did give a preview. I gave just a little bit of a teaser, but I can't wait for that video to come out and for people to see what that piece of pork came out looking like when it was finished cooking. Just incredible color all around. Congratulations to those guys at Plowboys.
So that's, as far as Kansas City goes, that's kind of what we've got right there. It is a sweet. There's a lot of sugar in it. You know, it's a tomato base sauce. Typically there is some molasses, some thickness to the original rubs. Of course, with, like I say, competition coming in, we started to get thinner, more glazy on ribs, stuff like that.
That's very interesting. So I do love that KC sweetness, but how would you contrast that with Texas, say Central Texas rubs, which are minimalistic? You have your salt, pepper, maybe a hint of cayenne, but sauce, I don't know, it's kind of optional. And when they do give it to you, it's thin and smoky, if it's there at all. I think that in my experience of being in Texas, and I know that in the chat room right now, we've got quite a few people from Texas that are chiming in. But is sauce like the no-no in Texas? Is it okay to put it on your if you're a pit master, is it okay to put it on there when you're preparing your food? Or is it simply, like, you know, an optional condiment for those people that feel they need a sauce?
So it just depends on the pitmaster, honestly. If you're serving barbecue 7 days a week and you're a majority of the day you're trying to have barbecue ready, you're probably going to appeal to the masses. And so it's got to be barbecue for the masses. At that point, we've got to have an array of sauces on the counter or whatever at the table. But now if you're getting down into the guys that are like shooting for the Texas top 50, they're not worried about selling volume. They're more like they're open Thursdays through Saturdays typically, or some, you know, 4 days a week kind of a deal. They're famous for running out, that kind of stuff. Now we're getting into, they'll usually mop or sauce at the pit or on the plate. They're probably not, and I'm thinking back to like my experience at Burnt Bean. I love Ernest's food. He's one of the greatest cooks, in my opinion, in Texas, and which is in Seguin, Texas, if you've ever been there. but best bite of brisket I ever had in my life came from him. I don't know what he does in it, but I do know that to me, my impression was, is it was a really great, thin, tomato-y, you know, vinegary sauce that had a little bit of bite on the back end that was cut with like beef tallow and a little bit of the au jus from the brisket, you know, just like the juice. It was like a blend of that. And he put it on right at the tray before he handed it to me. So it was really, really great. It fit really well with that. Though that's when you're going to get into some really unique situations. But for the most part, yeah, it's if there's sauce present, it's probably going to be something tomato based, thinner, you know, some pepper, a little bit of bite at the back, you know, not overly sweet, not overly hot, in my opinion.
My mouth is watering as you're talking about the natural juices in the beef tallow. I'm thinking about having a French dip right about now.
I mean, it's kind of what I used to do with my competition brisket. I would cut Blues Hog and Head Country 50-50 because Head Country's got that. We were cooking around the border of Oklahoma or Kansas. We had to pull in the Head Country. And so we would blend those two together, and then we would cut that 50-50 with whatever juice we had from the brisket. So it's kind of a play in that realm. It just depends on how thick you want it, you know.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Barbecue Nerds Podcast, where smoke meat science and flavor always comes first. This episode is brought to you by Smokeslinger, the craftsman behind some of the best barbecue pits and offset smokers in the game. Whether you're a backyard warrior or a pro pitmaster, Smokeslinger builds custom pits designed to help you cook your best barbecue ever. Visit smokeslinger.com to see their lineup and bring competition quality smoke to your own backyard. A big shout out to Smokeslinger for fueling our passion and keeping the smoke rolling strong. And as always, keep those pits hot, the smoke rolling, and stay nerdy about barbecue.